What is happening, y'all? Welcome back to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
Mac, it is the Christmas season, the holiday season, as we like to say. And we've got something a little special cooked up for our recording this evening. You want to set it up for us?
Yes, 'tis the season. And you know, we did a holiday episode last year.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
We wanted to go a little bit deeper and maybe get into some songs that we weren't too familiar with. So we're bringing in what we're going to call an expert.
Yeah, we love to bring in the experts, yes.
Our guest tonight, he's a producer, writer, and director. He's worked at NBC, MTV, A&E, HBO, Comedy Central, and CBS. He's actually one of the founders of the Comedy Channel, which later became Comedy Central. He was the executive in charge of production at The Late Show with David Letterman from 1996 until the end of the show's run in 2015. And all of us old school Howard Stern Show fans remember his legendary appearances on the show.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh my dear,
Mr. Vinny Favalli.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. My reputation exceeds me. It's so great to be with you guys, Mac and Eric. Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed your Christmas podcast last year, and I've been in the thick of writing this book for the past like 3 years and with no end in sight. So I love anything Christmas related.
Well, thanks for being here, man. We're really excited to have you on. And I know you and Mac have known each other for a while now. It's our first time meeting.
Yeah. But together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But you feel like an old friend already, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, familiar with your work in the past. So it's great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Very excited.
And Vinny, you mentioned you're working on a book.
Yes, I'm working on a book. The working title is Do You Hear What I Hear? Which is also a great Christmas song. And I'm basically writing a biography of Christmas music, a biography / history. And I don't know what I've gotten myself into. It's insane. there's easily 100 Christmas songs that everybody knows,
sure,
that everybody knows. And then there's over 100. And then there's probably 10,000 cover versions of every genre of those 100 some odd songs.
Yeah.
And when I got into the project, I discovered there's a hell of a lot more than 100 original Christmas songs. There's maybe a good 600-700 that I think are worthy of all of those 24/7 Christmas music channels. And so what my book is doing is shining a big light on just about every Christmas song from the beginning of time, going back to the carols to modern day. And as you can imagine, it does taper off. I think the last big original Christmas song is from the 90s, Mariah Carey. And then there were a couple after that. And that's not a bad one, right? That's a big
no,
one.
No. It's everywhere.
It's diminishing returns, you know?
Yeah.
The 50s and 60s are insane because there's so many great novelty songs. I completed the 70s and 80s, which is really, really interesting. And, you know, it tells a story. In telling the story of every song, and I get into the inspiration, I talk about the writers as much as the performers, you know, because I want to shine a light on the people that wrote these songs, you know, that actually they wouldn't exist if two guys, usually Jewish, didn't sit down and write their song, you know. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to diving in here. You know, I put this list together kind of as an homage, partly to your show, the kind of music that you guys love.
Yeah.
So there's some heavy stuff in here that I don't know if you guys have heard of.
Well, we were just talking about that before you joined us, and there's an obvious, you know, few on this list that you gave us that we were familiar with. Some of our favorites are on there as well. But yeah, we consider ourselves music nerds, and there are so many songs on this list that we had never heard of before.
I heard them just for the first time when you gave us this list, and I was oh my God, like, why did I not know this song?
I know. And then, you know, God bless Apple Music, because it's actually, and Spotify, you know, they're all there. They're all freaking there. And if they're not there, they're on YouTube. Like, that's a whole phenomenon where, especially like stuff like old 45s from the 30s and 40s, someone will record their turntable with the record spinning and they're playing the song, you know? And I'm like, amazing, because you can't get it anywhere. On streaming, but there is a lot of great music out there, and you just have to kind of dig in.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, I'm of a certain age where, you know, I'm a Spotify guy for the most part, as far as, you know, what I listen to on a daily basis. And I realize that I'm already like starting to age out because I work with a lot of younger people and they're like, oh my God, you listen to Spotify? Like, I'm like, really?
What
I'm
are
like,
they doing? Spotify? What are they listening to?
Right,
they come to their house and play the song?
Yeah, apparently it's just getting beamed directly into their heads now. Yeah, I don't know what is going on.
About? That is so funny. You know what? You know, another place that actually we get a lot of music is on TikTok. And now TikTok has a button at the bottom that syncs up with Spotify or Apple Music. And if you like the song, it creates, goes into a playlist that you have on TikTok.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people consume music so many different ways, even on commercials, you know, songs get played. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. We are not kids here.
For sure.
But it is, we're like in a candy shop. I mean, imagine when we were younger, your younger selves, guys, when you were trading cassettes and just getting into it, that if you could just open up this magic box and just about every mainstream song is there.
Yeah.
My brain back then wouldn't be able to comprehend. Handle it.
It's true.
I remember one Christmas my brother gave me, it was actually, he had this thing and it was so cool and he just gave it to me. A reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Oh, that's
great. And it was almost like one from Mission Impossible. You know, when you see like it will self-destruct, and I'm like, wait a second, like this is mine. I could record like up until then, I just everything was ephemeral. You know, it was a great song. Oh, it's gone. That's it. You know, I got to wait for Cousin Brucey to play the goddamn American Pie again before I could enjoy it. You know, there was no Alexa. There was no Siri. It's like, hey, Cousin Brucey, here, Cousin Brucey, here,
Cousin Brucey,
play the American Pie. You know, like your call number 45 on the hotline is of all you play, Cousin Brucey. No, play American Pie. But it's crazy. You know, so getting a recorder, the idea that I could actually capture this stuff. Oh my God. And then, but then again, like, I can't afford the tape. You know, it's like sending the VCR. Wait, we could record SCTV. We can record David Letterman. Right. Is that live? Yeah, but unless you do it at the slow speed where everything looks like the moon landing, you know, 8 hours on one tape. I'm like, oh God.
Oh my God. It's so true. And I remember how, because I grew up in those days too. And I remember getting so annoyed at the DJ that, and I ultimately.
Oh, the talk up.
Yes. And I ultimately grew up to work in radio and I became that guy. But my God. God, I hated that guy. I'm like, shut up. I'm trying to record this.
I want the intro. And then if you had Dan, like DJs, he was really good. Dan Ingram. I grew up with CBS FM, the oldies, right? Dan Ingram, they were doing shtick. They were doing here's a song about that. While the music's playing underneath and it's like, oh, here we go. You know, and then there's the hacky joke that ties into that.
Right,
But I, you know, it was great.
Oh my God. Yeah. The golden days of radio, man.
Yes. All right. Hey, let's get into the conversation here because these songs are incredible.
Let's get into that first one. It's a Christmas medley of Batlight. It's like 9 minutes long by a Swedish band from called A Hero for the World. That is, I knew that was going to, you guys.
You want to go, Matt?
Go, Eric, go. No, you're dying. This is you, man. Go for it.
Okay, so I told Matt when we were chatting before you got on with us, I said, if I don't talk about any other songs for the rest of the night, I said, I have to address this first one because I had never heard of A Hero for the World before. I hadn't. And so the Christmas medley is amazing, but it caught me so off guard and I got so into it that I ended up doing the deep dive and I hope my boss isn't listening, but I spent half my daytime job today. I spent half my day doing the deep dive on A Hero for the World.
They have a lot of albums.
Oh my God. I'm fascinated by them. I was telling Mac, I'm like, between singles and albums, if you look at their discography, it's like 30 deep. And I'm like, you know, some are singles, some are full length albums. But what really got me, man, was the covers that they do.
Yeah.
They do
That's how I discover them.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I don't
generally listen to like power metal, which I guess is the best way to describe them. It's not my cup of tea as far as like what I listen to on a daily basis, but I'm weirdly fascinated by it. Like I love when I see these bands playing live. Like if you're watching YouTube videos of like, you know, the Vakken Festival and whatever, and these power metal bands are playing and people are so into it. I'm fascinated by the scene, not so much the music. Right. But these guys blew my mind. And oh my God. So I started doing the deep dive and I'm listening to cover songs that they did. They do Holding Out for a Hero from the Footloose soundtrack.
Oh, that is so great.
Oh my God. They do Flashdance, What a Feeling from the Flashdance movie, Irene Cara.
And you know, so, I like that they took, like, especially Holding Out for a Hero is not a quiet song. That's Jim Steinman, who, like,
yes!
Wagner, you know?
Meatloaf, and they
just, you know, went to 12, you know?
Yes. And my ultimate favorite was they do A-ha's Take on Me. And oh my God. So, you know, that main riff, you hear the guitar. Dun, 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 dun. And as the song is starting, the singer does this epic, this huge like power metal scream in the beginning. And I was hooked and blown away. I'm like, oh my God, this might be my new favorite band.
That's so great.
I love this.
It was so worth it just for that.
Yes, dude. Thank you so much again.
I love it. Well, your listeners now will have a chance. And I'm going to hold off talking about what I think is one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time at the end. So I'll do a little clickbaity teasing it now.
Nice.
I didn't have time today to do the deep dive. I think I would have done that same deep dive, I would be going just balls out crazy like Eric is right now.
Oh, dude.
That's great. I'm so glad. That makes me happy.
And the medley's amazing.
The next one on the list was, I was shocked when this album came out, and it's a great album. Bob Dylan, who is Jewish, converted to Christianity,
and
recorded music of that genre, and then came back. But it's a great album. And that's just one of the great songs here. Here Comes Santa Claus. But he does Must Be Santa, which is another good one.
This one to me, like as soon as I heard him start to sing, I was like, this doesn't seem natural. Like, because he's trying to be like holly and jolly and merry. And I'm like,
what? I know. But he's not, you know, he's honest and sincere about it. Like he did three albums of Sinatra songs.
Wow.
In the last years. Oh yeah.
But like I said, it gave me pause when I heard it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah.
It was so un-Dylan from what I know of Dylan when I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a melancholic like delivery, you know, to his vocals, and then he's doing this like happy Here Comes Santa Claus.
I know
it was a weird juxtaposition of his voice and that.
And I would dig deeper if you guys have time because there's some great stuff there. The next one on my list was Gary Glitter.
Oh yeah,
glam rock. Then sadly, pedophile.
Yeah, we had touched on him in those songs in the past. And it's always such a weird, like, you know, because you can't deny his place in rock and roll history, but at the same time, you don't want to pump him up to be, you know, this super cool guy at the same time.
And he had such a weird look to him, too. He was like,
oh my God, he was such
like
a weirdo.
Kind of like an alternate Elvis, you know?
Yeah, right. Evil Elvis.
Evil Elvis.
Before there was Danzig, there was Gary Glitter.
What I noticed about this song, again, this was the first time I heard it, was very similar to Rock and Roll Part 1 and 2, was just, you know, limited lyrics.
Right.
And just a sort of a fun beat with a chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of coming in and out. That's it.
Yeah.
No verses.
One of the other bands on the list, when we get to it, Slade, you know, that's another like that poppy metal, almost Beatlesque kind of. Also 50s. I mean, the whole thing about glam rock was kind of like an homage to 50s rock and roll meets, you know, whatever they were mixing it up with, modern sounding. How you guys feel about George Thurgood and the Destroyers? That's another guy that's rock song.
You know what jumped out at me? A much appreciated saxophone solo. I still love every now and again, man. I love a good sax.
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly. And to be totally honest, I know it might be a controversial statement, but Clarence Clemons is really the reason I like Springsteen. I don't think if Clarence wasn't there, I don't know if I'd be a fan.
That was a big. He was a big part of the sound.
He really was.
Yeah, especially on the Born to Run album.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. And he's just such a charismatic guy, and not just, you know, his visual performance when he's on stage, but even just his solos. You just can't help but get sucked in, man, you know?
Yeah.
And a super amazing guy. He was awesome.
I mean, the solo in Jungleland was incredible. Could you imagine being in the studio when,
you know,
Springsteen wrote it, and then there's a certain point you got to let it go, and then the musician takes it on, and, you know,
yeah.
and takes it to a whole nother level, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. Okay. This one, did you hear the Greedies? The Greedies, that was, I had finished the 70s chapter, right? Okay. So the way my book is broken up into each chapter is a decade. And the low-hanging fruit are the first batch of songs that I cover. You know, I think the 70s had about like 18, 19 legitimate like Christmas songs that everybody knows, you know?
Sure.
So I did the deep dive on that. And then I do what's called like stocking stuffers, you know, 45s, one-offs, an album cut, whatever. And I thought I had everything cut because I'm like super anal about this. Like I got to represent everyone and it would kill me if I missed something. You wouldn't believe how much shit I had to listen to kind of like verify whether this is legit or not. And I'm done. And then like I forgot and searching something else, it showed up because it's kind of a weird thing. It's two songs. It's like We Wish You a Merry Christmas and Jingle Bells, you know, a merry jingle anyway. But it's Phil Lynott and his guitarist, whose name escapes me now. And like half the Sex Pistols, like there's a punk rock supergroup, you know, and this is what while these guys were, you know, at their best, you know, like 79, they're in the thick of it. Some weird thing.
Because I looked it up a little bit today and they started out calling themselves the Greedy Bastards.
Yeah.
And then they shortened it to the Greedies. But I never
it's
knew
a name.
There was a supergroup.
Yeah.
With members of Thin Lizzy and the Sex Pistols. Like,
and
no
there's
idea.
Video. I think there's a video online of that.
Yeah.
That's one of the fun things. That's what it like I'm the book is going to have barcodes. Every page will have a barcode. So you could hear what I'm talking about. And the barcode will open up your streamer of choice. You know, do you want to hear, you know, assuming it's on Spotify. And then and in this case, this one is not, I don't think, but I got it off of YouTube. So it'll link you to the YouTube version. But that's my hope is like your reaction to that and the other one makes me feel really great because I really think there's stuff out there that needs to, you know, be uncovered.
Yeah, that one for me in particular, because I'm a huge fan of both of those bands. So I was like, I had no idea that existed. So I'm super into it.
Same here.
Yeah. I was thinking earlier today as I'm going through and hearing some of these songs for the first time, I was like, I want to like get a camera and record my reactions because half the time I'm just sitting with my jaw open going.
Well, I definitely had the same face that we were just talking about for the next song that you're about to talk about too. I was blown away again. Didn't have any idea that this existed.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So the song is Wonderful Christmas Time. Lennon and McCartney each had Christmas songs. They both came out like a year apart, right?
Yeah.
And for many, many years, the Lennon, So This Is Christmas, Happy Christmas, War Is Over, was like the dominant one. Like, it's so beautiful and sentimental. Yeah. Out of the gate, everyone derided Wonderful Christmas Time. You know, bouncy, hokey, the part of McCartney that rubbed people the wrong way, the silly love songs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Boy has the tide turn. If you, like, look on Spotify now, not only is Wonderful Christmas Time surpassing Lennon in streams and constantly making like the top 20 list. Both of their songs are like almost like the biggest songs of their catalog. And when we're talking a catalog, we're talking the Beatles freaking catalog, the Paul McCartney solo catalog, and the Lennon catalog. Again, getting back to the whole phenomenon of Christmas music, it's rock solid, you know, from Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, you know, that's it. It's constantly playing. So we've teased it long enough. The band is called Helix and it's a crazy, describe it, guys. What did you think?
It's a metaled up version of that McCartney classic. I mean, it was sped up the tempo. You had the electric guitars.
Yeah.
It's going on my playlist immediately.
Oh, I love hearing that. That is so great.
And I hadn't heard the name Helix in
so long.
I don't know how long. And then it popped up on this. I'm like,
now, was Helix a band that you guys knew?
Oh, yeah.
What year were they? Like,
probably, I'm going to say like 84. 84, 85.
Oh, really?
And they
way
had a
back
song.
In the day, yeah.
Their biggest song that I remember, Rock You. I think it was called Rock You. But yeah, very anthemic, you know, that sort of mid-80s fist in the air kind of metal, you know. And you know, yeah, Helix was a lot of fun, man.
I have to research this a little more because, you know, it says 2008. Like, for all I know, that could have been a reissue because that's a long time they've been around, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It really is. John Anderson, lead singer from, now where do you guys stand with Yes? What do you think of Yes?
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, we're down.
Yeah.
I love that John Anderson recruited this like local band from New York to be the Yes surrogates, you know? Like they're releasing an album, they're touring, and they're really great musicians. They're amazing.
I mean, you have to be.
This, I saw Three Ships on Christmas Day. He did a whole album. It's a whole Christmas album. His version of Oh Holy Night is beautiful. One bit of trivia on this, when he did this song, when this song came out, I know he was on Howard Stern, right, promoting the record. I was working at MTV at the time, and because MTV had a lot of juice for like several years, the bands that did Christmas songs, like Billy Squire, Christmas Time, Say I Love You, even the George Thorogood one. And yes, they shot videos. And I was in this video, this music video.
I looked it up today.
Yeah, you did? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
I think I spotted you. You were watching TV? Like,
yeah. We were being a Siskel and Ebert. Good catch. I remember like we're parading and I got my hands around John Anderson's waist and I'm behind him because we're doing like a conga line and I'm like, wait, this is so surreal. It's like, hey John, I love you on How It Started Today. He's crazy. That's so much fun.
That's amazing.
The video is fantastic.
Yeah.
I urge everyone listening to go check out the video for John Anderson Three Ships. It's all the original MTV VJs. It's fantastic.
That's so
cool. it's like a pirate sea shanty. I saw three ships on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day in the morning. I'll pick the lock with my 10-foot. Wait, easy. All right, so the next one, you need a bleep button. Beep.
Oh no, this is gold.
Okay, so I had to put the classic in because it's so good, the Kinks, Father Christmas. I know you guys knew that one.
That is one of my all-time favorites. Aside from it's a rocking song, it kicks ass, but it's a story about working-class British kids beating the shit out of a mall Santa, you know? Like, yeah.
I know, it's so great. But how great is, like, the music when it comes down at the end that gets very Christmas. Have yourself a merry, merry, have yourself a good time.
And the jingle bells are, you know, going. Oh, yeah.
Such a great, great song.
Yeah,
I love
amazing,
those guys.
Amazing. And it is. It's the ultimate, like, snotty Brit rock. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
I mean, he really, you know, he was the original punk. I mean, he was just so
Hands down. Absolutely.
T-Rex.
I fell in love with this the second I heard it.
Yeah, it's Christmas Bop. And it shockingly sounds a lot like Merry Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home, right?
Yes, very much.
Oh, it absolutely rips off Darling Love.
Yeah. Sorry, Bark, but Jesus, yeah. But it's great. I mean, I just love it. I think there's probably a video of that online as well. I think there's something. But he was great.
Yeah. Oh. I think I can speak for Mac as well. I mean, we were both metal kids, but we still had a love for a lot of the 80s pop that was going on. We might not have talked about it back then. You know, it wasn't cool to admit you liked that stuff when you had long hair and stuff. But, you know, a lot of those sort of poppy 80s, you know, bands, you know, drew a lot from bands like T-Rex and, you know, Sweet. Yep. And even some of the, you know, the glam metal bands that we were kind of in, Motley Crue and bands like that, they took a lot from those bands.
Absolutely.
As well.
I'm sure, you know.
Oh my God, of course.
And we're going to get to Bon Jovi in a little while.
I'm excited for that.
That was a crazy revelation. That was like insane.
Yes, but, very much.
But Mark Mullen, he's a legend and I'm so happy. And yeah, and that's like, again, that's the kind of stuff that I hope when people are going through the book and, you know, and I will you know, there's, I cover a lot and I'm very emphatic when it's like, this is one you should listen to, you know, this is an important one.
Yep.
The Ramones, Merry Christmas. Oh. I Don't Want to Fight Tonight.
One of my all time favorites too.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Ramones in context of all metal bands. Like, where do they fit in?
Well, I mean, the Ramones, I mean, obviously, yeah, punk, but when you even look at like the beginning of like thrash metal.
Oh yeah.
You know, thrash metal, you know, your Slayers, Metallica's, Megadeth, that sped up guitar, those down riffs, that's all derivative of the punk movement and the Ramones and their style of playing.
Ramones especially, so for sure.
As much as they meant to punk, they meant just as much, you know, to metal and thrash.
You know, Mac and I, we came up in a certain era where we did things in reverse. You know, if you were 10 years older, let's say, than we are, you might have been listening to punk rock first and then went into metal.
Exactly right.
We kind of did it backwards. We were like, okay, like, you know, the AC/DCs, the Aerosmiths, the Motley Crue, bands like that. And then we went backwards and kind of discovered the punk stuff.
Yeah.
The band that made us go back the most was probably Motorhead.
Motorhead, 100%.
Right. You know, because as metal kids, you fall in love with Motorhead and you realize that, well, they're kind of a punk band. They're not really metal. And you kind of do a deep dive on them and where their sound came from.
Yep.
Yeah.
That Ramones, to put a button on that, from my point of view, I just like love one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
And with a strong sense of pop underneath somehow.
They never shied away from their love of like 50s and, you know, early 60s, like the doo-wop stuff. They embraced it.
As much into the bubblegum sound.
I mean, they were on Sha Na Na, for Christ's sake. I mean,
Well, that was a great episode. That was such a great episode. I mean, they were a cartoon, right? They really were.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next one is great for so many reasons. The song is called Donner and Blitzen.
Yes.
By who, guys?
The metal god. Rob Halford.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's so funny that that's who he chose to focus on, Donner and Blitzen.
Yep.
There were 9 reindeer, and Donner and Blitzen were originally called Dunder and Blixem.
Yes.
It's like a weird Jerry Lewis sound. Blixem, ladies!
Hey!
But I love it. He's put all his eggs in one basket. It's like, fuck Rudolph. It's Donner and Blixem.
That's what I love about this song. It's such a metal thing to do, to write a story about the underdogs.
Yes.
Exactly.
100%.
Or the underdeer, if you will.
Yeah. The underdeer.
To me, like, that's what I took from, like, I'm listening to Halford. I'm like, that's so fucking metal, man. He took the underdogs. He's like, he's going to the little guy, you know, like that made it for me.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. Yeah, Rudolph really is like, sucks all the life out of the room. It's all about Rudolph.
It's overrated.
It's the claymation special, you know, he does everything.
That's not fair. And Donner and Blitzen, I mean, they come from, the words are lightning and thunder. So,
oh, really? Look at that.
Yeah. So dunder is the word that it came from in Latin or German or whatever was thunder. And then Blitzen was lightning. So what's more metal than thunder and lightning?
That is so great.
Yeah.
Those are fun facts.
Coming with the fun facts. There it is.
Oh, you're a very cunning linguist.
That's right.
Okay. The next one is really sad. I don't know what was, I kept on, like, I was going through the album. We're talking about Scott Weiland. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes.
Temple Pilots. I'm not sure what year he died. This came out in 2011. And it's not done, you know, sarcastically. No ire. It's just recorded. I guess it's heartfelt, which is beautiful. Yeah. But it's so, like, I don't know, man. I think he needs to sing faster song. You know, these are like the White Christmas was very, very dark. I thought it was so sad.
When I was listening to it today, just sitting there with my jaw on the floor and going, what the fuck?
I went through every song in the album. Though, there's got to be one that just like, okay, the single, you know, and no, there was nothing there.
Yeah, I listened to it today as well, and I was like, I was waiting for, you know, the moment where, you know, you hear like the bop, the snare, and then it kicks in and goes fast, and I'm like, nope, straightforward all the way through, super depressing. Yep. And maybe it's depressing because we know how his story ends, unfortunately, I don't know. But
And we know how great he is.
Yeah, like, right, what a great singer.
Right.
God. Yeah. All right, the next one is, talk about low-hanging fruit, Slade.
Oh, yeah.
Merry Xmas. That was their signature. Good, you know, the way they spell things. And yep. Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody, which as recently as last year earned Naughty Holder, I think, $600,000. Like a year. It's used in commercials. It's used in, you know, it's just the royalties alone, just from the publishing and then the performance royalty.
Wow.
Yeah, another one just blew my mind today.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, same.
That was recorded in New York, same studio. Oh, you'll like this. The same studio that Lennon had recorded in, I think, I want to say the Power Station maybe, but that Mellotron was one that John Lennon let them use.
No,
it wasn't
kidding.
The Beatles wow. one, but like in the song, there's that part. It's very Lennon-esque.
Yeah.
As you can tell. That's a great one. That's a classic. And in England, it's a big deal.
Yeah, like classic, just glam rock sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soaring chorus, like great harmonies, vocal harmonies, just a lot of fun, man. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was one where the other guy in the band wrote it with him. They merged two different songs. They had two different things. They're like, okay, you know, let's put them together. Very Lennon McCartney like.
That's cool.
Spinal Tap, Christmas with the Devil. I'm sure you guys heard that one. I mean, these things, you know, like they're so good. Like they're supposed to be a parody, and then they're not a parody anymore. They're just great.
Can I just read the first verse?
Oh my God, please do. Absolutely.
I was dying when I heard this today. The elves are dressed in leather and the angels are in chains. The sugar plums are rancid and the stockings are in flames. There's a demon in my belly and a gremlin in my brain. There's someone up the chimney hole and Satan is his name.
Oh my God. I like that the chimney hole too. It feels like a hole will go down.
It somehow sounds dirty. I don't know. Like.
Oh,
it's so
God.
Great. I'm telling you, what a body of work those Spinal
Tap. They are fantastic.
They just filmed it. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, can't wait God. For that. Yes.
Yeah. 40 years later.
Yes.
Okay. This is the one no one's been waiting for. The Star Wars Christmas album, R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Now, okay. Recorded at the Power Station, which was managed by Tony Bon Jovi, whose cousin, young kid, he calls him up and says, hey, you want to be on a record? Yeah, but it's not going to be one of your songs. It's going to be with R2-D2. It took me a while, a couple of listenings, to really appreciate, oh, that's Bon Jovi for sure. You know, I wouldn't have known it unless you told me.
Yeah, sure.
I listened to it like 3 times today, trying to like, is that really John Bon Jovi? Then I realized, same. It's John Bon Jovi, but he's probably 15.
Yeah, he was very, that's very young. I mean, it goes back to 1980, so yeah.
Yeah, and same, I was listening to it today, and I was like, no, I just don't hear. And then every once in a while, you'd hear like a certain inflection or a certain note, and you're like, oh, there it is, you know?
There he is.
But
oh my God.
But if you had just played that for me and said, who's singing?
Yeah.
Not in a million years, I would not have gotten it.
And then, you know, it's interesting. I just probably a few years after that, not much longer, is when his cousin again said, listen, you could, you know, I think he was working. He was like a janitor at the studio for a while to make some money.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, after hours, the studio's yours, you know, if you want to do that. And he did Runaway with whatever musicians he was able to pull together.
Amazing.
It's a Christmas miracle. Okay. Waitresses is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Yes. 100%.
It is so perfect. It could be a Hallmark movie. You know, this couple destined to be together. They keep on missing each other. But I interviewed Chris Butler. The story's amazing. They were on Z Records, which was an uber like new wave punk late 70s record label, right? And it had like August Darnell, Christmas on Riverside Drive was his big song, and that was on the album. It had a lot of hardcore bands on it and on the label. Head of the label goes, okay, we're going to make our version of the Phil Spector Christmas album, A Christmas Wish for You, you know, but everything's going to be original like that. You know, that's the garment. This poor guy, Chris Butler, they just got into New York, overwhelmed. They had recorded the album, But they were holding up the release of the album because they wanted to get the Christmas. So we're losing momentum, basically. They lost all their momentum. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to write this song. He's roughing. He's doing the finishing the lyrics on a cab ride going to Electric Ladyland Studios, where Hendrix,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Hendrix's studio. He talks about, like, he's in a cab and he's finishing it up. And, you know, the song's amazing. I mean, if you, yeah, it's so beautifully produced. It's so heartwarming. It's so clever in, yeah, the rapping versus rapping, you know?
Yeah.
But what did you guys, do you guys remember from back in the day, or is it like?
Oh, I definitely, yeah, again, I worked in radio, God, in the early 90s and early 2000s. And that it was already a classic at that point. I worked for a radio station where the format was so super tight. You couldn't ever, you know, stray from right, you know, your log, except for Christmas time. It was like, oh, play a Christmas song here, play a Christmas. So it's kind of DJ's choice. And I probably
great,
played Christmas rapping way more than I should have.
Oh,
like,
that's a nice long one too for a DJ. It's good. You know, especially if the 12 inch mix.
Oh, totally. Totally. It was a great time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
To hear that story that, you know, he was finishing the lyrics in a, yeah, in a cab. It sounds like they spent years writing this song.
I know. It's like now the calendar's down to just one page.
Yes.
You know, or my favorite line, hardly dashing through the snow, clothes on piled up so tight. Come on.
Yeah, it's genius. It's genius.
It's truly, it's in my top five.
Yeah. Mine too. I love that song.
Another band I know you guys, the next one we're talking about that you guys are familiar with is a cover of Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
Yes.
By Weezer.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they're the Beatles of pop metal, right? They're so freaking great.
Oh, Weezer's amazing.
Weezer's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love their sound.
So talented. Yeah. And that EP has got some other good stuff on it, but he could do anything. Really.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. Yo.
And their cover songs too, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Didn't they just cover like Enter Sandman a couple years ago on the Metallica compilation?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Non-ironically, he did it with love.
Yes.
Okay, this is the penultimate song, because the ultimate song is going to be the greatest Christmas song of all time. But we're talking William Shatner. I love that part of his name is Shat, because that's what he does on a lot of fun.
Yes, Shatner.
Unintentionally, but he... I mean, really, Todd Rundgren, these guys are like, you know, he gets them all.
Heavy hitters, man.
But he talks to them. Remember? I was looking at Howard Stern. Oh, my God. He was playing Mr. Tambourine Man. Right?
Yes.
Right. But I know exactly where I was. I was on 57th and 5th Avenue, listening to headphones, hysterical crying, because then he played Shatner's Lucy the Sky with Diamonds, right?
That's another classic.
Picture yourself. And then when he goes, and then you answer quite slowly. Like, it was so literal. It was slowly, slowly. Oh, my God, Howard. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, so good.
I was listening. What I loved about this, and I guess what I love about everything Shatner does, is the words or syllables he chooses to emphasize.
Exactly.
Sabotage. Remember on the Howard Stern thing, he pronounced, he was doing the recording session, and he said, sabotage. Sabotage. Excuse me, Mr. Shatner, it should be sabotage. No, you disgust me. Sabotage. That's the way. Yeah, Winter Wonderland. Oh, my God. It's his own style, you know? It's incredible.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That's, again, you know, closing the loop in some ways on Christmas music. It encompasses everything, the way music encompasses everything, you know?
Yeah.
We're not talking a genre, even though that's how it's classified, DJs and all that. No, I really think for 3 months of the year, music becomes Christmas music, you know? That's it. Yeah. And everyone's satisfied, because what kind of mixtape can you have a Ramones, you know, and a Ray Charles, and a Frank Sinatra, and the goddamn hero for the world?
Yeah, it's my new favorite band.
Yeah. All right, let's get to my favorite song, Matt. I think we've talked about this before. It was on a compilation, an Australian rock and roll compilation, rock and roll Christmas compilation, but it's Christmas Time Again by Chris Klondike Mazuek. I couldn't find a lot of information on him, and I'm not going to give up, because it holds such a big part of the book, and it's got one of the smallest write-ups on it, other than me just waxing how much I love it. And maybe you could end the podcast with a chunk of it, you know, because it's such a great song. I don't think you'll have any copyright issues with this one. But I don't know what you guys thought of it.
No, I fell in love with it immediately.
I love the Come All Ye Faithful intro, solo guitar. It's just so perfect, you know? It was like very Weezer-like.
Yeah, bouncy and light, kind of, you know, real catchy chorus.
But the story's great, too. You know, my girlfriend's bugging me. My mom's been bugging me for years, you know? But he's like that surly teenager at home, still at home, you know? We're at home, maybe not a teen. One Christmas longer than he should have been at home, you know?
Right.
But it's a beautiful song. I think it's up there. I mean, it's in my top five.
I'm super stoked that you turned us on to that. Because, yeah, I absolutely loved it as well. And what really kind of caught my attention, too, and I had to go back and look at the date. So that came out in 1989.
Right.
That song could have easily come out last year.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's so timeless. And that sound, that sort of punky rock.
Well, Jimmy Eats World, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Eats
World. Absolutely.
And that whole wave of those bands, they Blink 182, yep. All great.
It's
great
timeless.
Bands.
Yeah. And that sound and that style of singing and playing, it never gets old. It never gets old. And that song could have come out last year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So yes, that's going to be on my playlist this year as well, for sure.
A couple of songs, just, you know, to wrap it up, I guess, if you want, were just song titles, you know. I might not have included them on the playlist, but like the 70s was weird, man. Like John Denver, Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk for Christmas. Command Cody, Daddy's Drinking Up Our Christmas. Merle Haggard, If We Make It Through December. That's a really toe tapper. And Merle Haggard again, Daddy Won't Be Home Again for Christmas. So he's not only disappointed them this year, apparently he's been disappointed them every year because he won't
every
be
year.
Home again.
Shit was dark in the 70s, apparently.
Wait. Then we also had Martin Mull, Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope, which I love. In the 1980, Santa Came Home Drunk. It's crazy. I mean, you know, these there's categories, you know, there's the novelty, which is basic novelty, but then there's specific categories like drunk, you know. You could do a whole playlist on that topic. And another big one was Vietnam, you know, like Christmas music was holding a mirror up to whatever was going on, whatever songs they were writing.
Yeah.
You know, I Won't Be Home This Christmas by Barry Sadler, who did the Ballad of the Green Beret. Christmas Tree in Vietnam. You know, Christmas Without Daddy because he just was shot by the Viet Cong. I mean, it's crazy, you know?
Man, that's wild, yeah.
I went and actually looked up some of these songs today and gave them a listen.
Yeah.
And I was so fucking depressed.
It really is, you know? I suffered my art. Now it's your turn.
Oh my God.
Listen, it's a great topic, and you guys have a great your podcast is like literally all about, you know, these clumps of music that we share with each other, you know, someone might want to make the ultimate Christmas mixtape. You know, someone put a gun to your head and said, you only get 20 songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be dying, you know?
Yeah.
Get 20 metal songs, you know? Sure. Then you really have to hone in on that. But it's great. I enjoyed being on here, and I'm afraid of this lightning round.
Eric, I think it's time.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. This is my favorite, man.
Iron Blitzen. When I was a kid, I thought it was Donna. I thought it was
Donna.
Donna. I thought it was from Brooklyn.
Donna.
Hey, it's Donna. You know, in Brooklyn, we didn't pronounce the R. It's like Donna.
All right, here we go. It's time for the ride to lightning round.
Oh, God.
All right, Vinny, I'm going to hit you with 10 holiday themed this or that.
Okay.
And we kind of just got to roll through them. And we get through the end, you can go back and defend and explain anything you want. Here we go. Okay, true or false? Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
True.
Jingle Bell Rock. Bobby Helms or Hall & Oates?
Oh, fuck Bobby Helms. Of course, Bobby Helms. Not fuck Hall & Oates, Bobby Helms. I should have said, fuck yeah, Bobby Helms.
Brenda Lee.
Fuck Bobby Helms. Go ahead.
Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, or Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad?
Oh, God, that's a tough one, but I got to go with Brenda.
Okay.
Agreed.
Bing Crosby, White Christmas, or Burl Ives, A Holly Jolly Christmas?
I got to go with Bing. I love Holly Jolly, but I got to go with Bing.
The Kinks, Father Christmas, or Billy Squire, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You.
I'm going to go with Christmas, Don't Yell at Me, is the Time.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Blasphemy.
Home Alone or Elf?
Home Alone.
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You, or Wham, Last Christmas?
Ooh. All I Want for Christmas is You.
Okay. Adam Sandler, The Hanukkah Song, or Elmo and Patsy, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
I got to go with Elmo. That's a good one. Kudos to you.
That is a good one.
Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time, or Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band, Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Bruce.
Okay. The Waitresses, Christmas Rapping, or Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis?
Oh, Rapping. Christmas Rapping.
Okay, and I've got a bonus, a Christmas bonus.
Keep it in your pants.
Yes, a bonus. Oh, a bonus. Yeah.
We've talked about reindeer a lot tonight. What? Most metal reindeer name, Blitzen or Vixen?
Blitzen.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well done, Vinny. Well done.
Nice.
Thank you.
Anything you want to defend or discuss?
Yeah, go from the top again, and real quick, just remind me, number one was?
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, true or false?
Yeah, that's one, Eric, you don't agree, right?
No, I do. You said
oh,
yes,
you
right?
You agree, yeah. Yeah, okay. No, that's a great debate. I'm going to use it in the book because there's my favorite things from The Sound of Music in recent years has become a Christmas song, and it's really not.
Yeah.
But it
right.
is.
Yeah, 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 of course.
I'm going to allude to the Die Hard when I get to that, but okay.
Love it.
Bobby Helms, that as good as the other one was, that was a horrible. I mean, you know, Hall & Oates and Bobby Helms, come on. Jesus Christ.
Sometimes you got to go old school, yeah.
Yeah. What was Brenda Lee up against?
Yeah, Brenda Lee or Jose Feliciano.
Yeah, I love. Listen, the Jose Feliciano is fantastic. It really is.
Yeah.
Damn, I hate the lightning round. I went with Bing over who? Who was the other choice?
Burl Ives.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, Holly Burl's Jelly okay, Christmas. But you know, I mean, Burl's actually made some really great Christmas music, some old stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to go with White Christmas. It's
yeah.
just.
And then you took Billy Squire over the Kinks.
Yeah, you know
that was a shocker.
Yeah, I did that one because when I'm I like melody, I like sing along, and yeah. I like, you know, stuff that like that's a great for a playlist with a lot of different ages that are listening. Yeah. I mean, the Kinks could be on that playlist as well, but there's something about this that makes you stop and go, "Oh, that's it's a pretty I love it. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs."
It is a great, great song,
and it
absolutely.
Doesn't wear out. I don't think it wears out. Like,
oh no, I love that song too.
Oh, yeah. Totally stands up.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
And I think I was there when he did that one because that was MTV. I'm not in the video, but that was another one that he did at MTV.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What was the one after that?
You took Home Alone over Elf.
Oh, Elf. Yeah. That
Elf's great, but
Elf, yeah, I think it's a generational thing, maybe. You know, although I was like in my 40s when Home Alone came out. And then what was?
You took Mariah Carey over Wham.
That was easy.
This surprised me. You took Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer over Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Yeah, and I think that Adam Sandler is such a great it's so funny, you know. It's really but it's like it's not really a Christmas song at the end of the day, but it's a great song too. Like that's why I hate the lightning round. I gotta defend it.
You have to pick.
Yeah. What else? What was after that?
You took Springsteen over McCartney.
That was a no brainer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you took the Waitresses over Run DMC.
Yeah, that was easy for me. That was crazy easy.
And of course, Blitzen has the most metal reindeer name.
Right. Do you agree?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. I mean, Vixen is.
He moved me just from what he said earlier. You know, he educated
Vixen
me.
Is close.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did enjoy
there was
Vixen
actually a
back
band
in the day.
Yes.
Vixen,
right, Vixen right. sounds like a drag queen, though. You know,
Vixen was an all-girl like metal band back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember that? Edge of a Broken Heart. Yeah. Written by Richard Marx, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Richard Marx, yacht rock. Does he fall into the yacht rock category? I forget.
I think he could. I think he could. I don't think we touched on that.
He didn't come up in our yacht rock episode.
We have to save that for another podcast.
Yeah, we can revisit yacht rock and get a different perspective on it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Vinny, this has been so much fun.
This is great. I knew when I was putting it together, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh, my God.
I just blitzed through. Like, I blitzed. There we go again. Let's just go.
Yeah. Yes. Well, again, yeah, we could easily go on for hours and hours. Yeah. I mean, it's such a fun topic, and you're a wealth of knowledge. Man, you turned us on to some amazing stuff that we didn't even know existed. So
I'm really glad you liked it. That was
thank you. That was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, Vinny, thank you so much, man. This was so much fun. We loved it.
Yeah, let's do it again very soon.
Let me be the first to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas.
Oh my God, thank you so much. You as well.
Same to you. And before you go, Vinny, too, when can we expect the book to come out?
Ooh, I'm hoping now. I decided to do it by decade and not wait for the whole thing because it would be forever. Yeah. So I'm hoping to get the 70s out by Christmas of next year, 25.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have you back and plug the book.
I'll be back. Promote that. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blow our minds again with
yeah, for sure.
Just incredible music.
I'd love to blow your mind. I love these lame threes company double entendre jokes.
Right, yes. We're big fans as well.
Oh, and he's Mr. Roper to look into the camera.
Breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. Oh my God.
So great. Well, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, man. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Eric, let's close this episode out with some shout outs.
Sounds good.
Here we go. We got new listeners, Capitol Heights, Maryland. Reston, Virginia, Shreveport, Louisiana, Owasso, Oklahoma, Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania, East Providence, Rhode Island, Tempe, Arizona, Gualala, California. Eric, say it with me.
Gualala.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun to say.
Calgary, Canada, Mannheim, Germany, Mannheim Steamroller.
There you go.
Coimbatore, India.
Well done.
Swansea in the UK. The Hague.
Yeah.
Eric, The Hague.
Just any place that starts with the is cool in my book.
Isn't that where they like lock up like international war criminals and shit? Like,
I think so.
The Hague.
I don't ever want to find out for myself.
But thanks for listening. Yes. Olst in the Netherlands.
All right.
Feels like they could use a vowel. Rahini, Ireland. Rahini. Okay. And Paramaribo, Suriname.
All right.
All right.
I love it.
I hope I didn't fuck them up too bad.
I'm sure you did, but that's okay.
Yeah, I guarantee I did. But anyways, we love you. Thank you for listening. Follow us on the socials. We are on Instagram and on YouTube. We are getting so many cool comments to some of our content on YouTube.
Yeah.
And now even on Instagram. So we love the positivity, how much people are just sharing their love of music with us. So keep it coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rate us, review us, subscribe, anything you can do to help us out. We appreciate it.
100%. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks again so much for hanging out with us. Thank you, Vinny Favalli, for your wealth of knowledge and your that was so much fun. I can't stop saying how much fun and grinning from ear to ear. That was a great time. So,
Vinny, can't thank you enough, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. We'll be back again very soon with a full-length episode. And until then, it's the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Matt.
And we will talk to you really soon.